And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound. When a man comes around.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight. Glad to have you in here. Got a great program before you. Part 4 of The Great Disguise. Well, have you ever heard terms like, "Where's your father?" Well, he said that my father is greater than I. Have you ever heard that one? I go to the father. Question, where was the father? So you get a lot of questions in the negative of people that try to separate the Father and the Son, or the Father from the Son, or the Son from the Father. And basically, you can't do that because of the way that the Father begot the Son. It's a great mystery. For great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And although he was manifest in the flesh, he did it in such a way that it's almost deceiving. Send you a strong delusion, he said, that you might believe a lie. Now, if you believe that the Father and the Son are separate, you believe the lie. You have really fell for it. And was Yahweh trying to send you a strong delusion when, well, this is a Messiah's statement here. Let me read it for you in John chapter 14, verse 28. You have heard how that I said unto you, I go away and come unto you again. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Now the word greater is mision in the Greek. And that means that he was referring to something other than himself, the flesh, as being greater in this sense of the Father. Now, we're going to examine the scriptures and find out where the Father was. The Father in disguise. He was disguised in a flesh body. We know that God was not a flesh man. He had to become one. Therefore, God the Father and God the Son had to, at one time or another, be separated. And you say, well, I don't understand, Pastor Buddy, how, if you say that they're one, how they could be separated. Well, it's impossible for God to die. You can't kill him. God is a spirit. John 4:24. The flesh man, he can die and did die. At that moment, the separation happened for the first time, because before the Son was, like he said, before the world was, I am. And so then, the greater than I was the Spirit. The Spirit got itself a flesh body. It lived for 33 years, and then it died. Now, what's so hard to understand, other than the great mystery? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Behold, Matthew 1:23. A virgin shall be with child. That was Mary, the mother of the Son, or the one we call the Messiah, or the one that the Bible would call Christ Jesus. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now that's from the reference of Isaiah 7:14. Which it was prophesied that God would come and be with us. Now, the only way that would be possible, because God is not a flesh body, and before that time, there was no flesh body. He wasn't pre-created in a flesh body. It was a spirit. And so then, we've got two different subjects here to discuss, and we're going to unite them together, and then we're going to separate them. Once we're separated, the only time after the body, in other words, the spirit overshadowed the virgin, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and this is God with us. Although it was a man, although it wasn't recognized, although he was disguised, although that was the Father is a spirit, that was the Father inside, or the essence of the being of that man that lived 33 years. Now, we've already given you, within the context of the torture stake, when he was hanging on what the people call a cross, at the point of death. Remember, the only way, or the only possibility for this body of flesh to die, the only possibility for it to hunger, the only possibility for it to hurt, was that the Father would separate from the Son. The Father, being a spirit, had to depart the body before it would give up the ghost. Now, to give up the ghost was the Holy Ghost, or the Father, who is a spirit. There's not three or four spirits. There's one spirit, and by one spirit, we were all baptized into that body, which we know as the Son. Now, question. The Bible says we once knew him as the Son, but now we don't know him no more. Why don't we know him no more? Because he died. Because he laid down his life. He's not got any more life in that body. Now, there was one thing that left that body that had life in it, and that was the Father. The Father was in the Son, reconciling the world unto himself. Three things that left the body for a witness: water, you got to have that, nothing lives without it, and blood, you got to be born, not of man, but of Yahweh. You got to be his child in a flesh body. A child, meaning that your name was on the Lamb's book, chosen before the foundation of the world, or chosen before you became a flesh being yourself. You understand that? Now then, when you depart, your flesh body don't go with you. You leave it. Well, so as in nature, so was the experience of the Father and the Son. If you read in John chapter 5, verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come. Now, when we say the Son of God, we're talking about the Son of Yahweh. Now, how did Yahweh get a son? Well, he overshadowed the virgin. And she was with child. Now, this child was nothing but a child. It was in the arms of Mary. And at this time, the great question was Mary, was she holding God in her arms? Was he truly God? What facet of God was he without? We do know that there was a procedure that is unlike the Godhead. God can't feel pain. God can't hurt. God don't hunger. He said, if I did, I wouldn't tell you. He has cosmic food to eat, whatever that is. But when he became a man, he took upon himself the characteristics of a child. And the Bible said he learned obedience. That's more than a lot of us can learn, even when we are in our flesh bodies. We don't want to become obedient. how do we become obedient? For unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9:6. Listen to it. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name. Now, this is one of the reasons that the son came through a womb, in this case, the woman Mary, became his mother, and again, was she the mother of God? Was that God that she nursed in her arms and wrapped in swaddling clothes and cared for? Was God out doing anything while he was a baby? Was he limited to that body, or did he fill all of the Godhead bodily? Can you contain God in a body of flesh? Is the question. Is he omnipotent? Is he omniscient? And the answer to either or both of those would be yes. He fills heaven and earth, not only a body of flesh. Did he prepare himself? He was in that body, and he was out of that body. He filled heaven and earth and that body. Now, he chose that this son would become obedient. He would learn. Now, isn't that something? Here, a little child would have to learn. He didn't know everything. Did he? Did he really know everything when he was a child? Well, he learned everything, grew up quite well, and by the time he was 33 years old, able to lay his life down, he knew the whole plan. This plan was written before the foundation of the world. It was written that he would be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. But at a certain time that he was a little child, he was not the mighty God. He was just a young child, and the eternal spirit that created him was off taking care of business, doing things out of the body and in the body. Although he was out of the body, he was in the body. He was everywhere at once. He was the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 43:10-11, let me show you something here. Disguised. Now, he's looking for witnesses that will try to explain this, and it's almost impossible how that God was a child born of a virgin. He was the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and he was the Prince of Peace, but he had to learn obedience. He was hungered. We know that he stood at the well and he was thirsty. Well, now God can't be hungry and thirsty, and he can't be limited in knowledge, but here, this voluntary concept of the Godhead exposed in a flesh body, making himself susceptible to the temptations of Satan. You cannot tempt Yahweh. We know that the Son, he allowed himself to be tempted so that he could prove himself worthy of withstanding the temptations that often befalls us because we've all sinned and come short. And the Bible said he was without sin, but he was not without temptation. A man cannot tempt God because God cannot be tempted. You understand that? But here's a man, the Son, that volunteered to become a man and think like a man and be tempted in all points. You are my witnesses, Isaiah 43:10-11. Listen to this now. It's very, very plain. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Yahweh. When you read the Bible, and most of you are reading the King James Bible, it'll say, Lord, you are my witness, it says the Lord. The Lord means Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. You're my servant, whom I have chosen. Now, you are a chosen servant, like I said, with your names on the Lamb's book. You were written in. He said, all right, now, you're going to become my witnesses one of these days. When? Well, just take your time. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you when to go and what to say. Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Yahweh knows everything. Here, in a limited way, the little child didn't know everything. It had the natural instincts. Now, truly, these instincts were quite unique for this child. None had ever heard him speak, even when he was 12 years old. He amazed the Pharisees and the scribes with his knowledge of the word, having never learned. He never went to school. He wasn't homeschooled. His instincts, his characteristical instincts, was above and beyond that of a normal person. He had unique features. Because he was the wonderful counselor. If you wanted counseling, well, you could get some good counseling even when he was 12 years old. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they found that out. He knew things that they couldn't imagine a 12-year-old knowing. Now, if you get into some of the things that he knew, it was mind-boggling. He had a great understanding of the word at 12 years old. That's not normal. He was abnormal in this sense. You're my servant, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God form. Now, I want you to remember that. The Son did not exist in Isaiah 43, 10, and 11. He was not formed. He wasn't born of a woman. But then again, he said something unique here, and neither shall there be after me. He wasn't formed then. He was begotten. Now, he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. He could do that. But in this case, he decided to be begotten through the natural process of becoming a real, genuine person. A man, tempted in all points, without sin. Only one person could say that and claim that justly. And Satan knew that if he couldn't break him in the temptation, get him to sin, that he himself would be judged. Up until that time, Satan was the accuser. He'd done the judging. He was the prosecuting attorney that stood there with God's holy word spoken out of his own mouth, that had declared that no sin would enter into the kingdom. Everything that had come that wanted a chance to go back, Satan would find fault in them. Here, he tried his best to get this man who was not formed like Adam. He had a battle on his hand. This child with us, Emmanuel, was begotten, the only begotten. And the Bible said, full of grace and truth. I am the Lord, and beside me there's no Savior. Now, wait a minute here. All Christians claim that Jesus is the Savior. Well, here, God says, they know God formed before me, and they know God formed after me. I am Yahweh, and beside me there's no Savior. So, now, is Yahweh the Savior? Or is God the Savior, if you want to call him God, like you're used to? Let's just bring it down to your level. Is God the Savior? Well, if he is, why are you saying that Jesus Christ is the Savior? Why do they preach him the Savior if he's not God? Could you look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18? Could you look in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8? Here it says, in Revelation 1, 17, he said, I am the first and the last. Revelation 2 and 8, again, it says that this Savior is the first and the last. Isaiah 40 and 4 and 6, he says he's the Redeemer. 2 Peter 1 and 1 says that Jesus is the Redeemer. If Jesus is not God, at what time or when did one of these lie? Jesus is the Redeemer. Isaiah 44:6, Behold, I am the Redeemer, saith God. You are my witnesses, saith Yahweh. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Did God die? Did God shed his blood for us? Well, that's where God decided to live. The Son said himself, when he said the Father is greater than I am, what was he talking about, the flesh man or the Spirit? Now, we know that the Father was in him bearing witness to himself. He said, the Father's with me. They said, where is your Father? He said, well, he's with me. But you don't know him. In this disguised language, he had these Pharisees and these Sadducees and these scribes, they were scrambling. They couldn't understand his speech. And if you're carnal, you can't understand tonight how God became a man, and then God abandoned the Son, the body, the flesh man, left it hanging there dead. It was dead and empty. There was nothing in it. It had no life. Christ said himself, he said, it's not me that does these works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. Well, when the Father ceased to dwell in him, he left the body. Three things, again, that left the flesh man, the Son, was the Father, the Eternal One, God with us, God left us, so that this body of flesh could be offered by itself as a living sacrifice. It died. Something had to die that was worthy to be accepted by God, the Spirit itself. And the Bible said it pleased God to dwell in him. Think how lonely he was when he got out of that body. He liked that body. He loved that body. But it was necessary for him to leave it so it would die. And so then, here is the Son that we knew as the Son that died, and in a sense, we don't know it no more after the flesh. Do you understand that? We don't recognize him anymore. The disguise became acceptable if we worship God as a spirit. We don't worship him in the flesh no more. He's not a flesh being. Until he decided to reside in that body. In other words, the Bible said he went and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. Now here is God giving his flesh, or the Son, and the terminology is the same, the flesh or the Son, God is not a flesh being. God is a spirit. It's impossible for God to be everywhere at the same time in a flesh body until he possessed that body as his own. It pleased the Father to dwell in the Son, to reconcile the world, those that were his, from the foundation of the world. The first and the last. He declares it in Revelations 2 and 8. Read it for yourself. I am the first and the last. Well, here in Isaiah 43, 10 and 11, he says, I am the first and the last. In Isaiah 44, 6, he says he's the first and the last. And beside him, there's no God. 2 Peter, the one we call Jesus, the flesh man, the one that came and was made flesh, his name was never Jesus, but that's what the New Testament gave him, as they tried to change his name and hide his actual reality of the true name. You see, you've got to have this name. Now look at this. What about the creation? Who created it? John 1 and 3. Colossians 1:16, it says, the one we call Jesus now, I call him Yahweh the Savior, made all things. Colossians 1:16, he made all things. Isaiah 44 and 24, God, it says the Father, created the world by himself alone. Alone. Well, when the world was made, was the Son in a flesh body? Was God in a flesh body back there, dwelling in the Son? No, he wasn't. That's why when Moses asked in the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, when he asked, he said, I'm not going no farther until you show me yourself. I gotta see you, man. I ain't going no further. You've got to show me who you are. Well, it would be almost impossible for God, who was a spirit, to show himself to Moses, who wasn't capable in a flesh body of seeing a spirit. A spirit don't have no flesh and bone, according to the book of Luke, chapter 24. That would have been impossible. And the Father told Moses, he said, you've asked me a hard thing. He said, I have? He said, yes. When you understand, now I wouldn't have understood it back there, being Moses. He didn't understand the mechanics of the Godhead. God was manifest in the flesh. Although he did say, God in the last days is going to raise up a prophet like me, and you better hear him, because the Father's name, God's name, is going to be in this person. Well, was God in Christ? Of course he was. Was he the one that created the world? Of course he was. See, Moses didn't understand this hardship he was putting on. Now, how did the Father, the Spirit, without a flesh body, how could he have possibly showed Moses his hinder parts, which is exactly what he does. Here's how he had to do it. See, time exists only in our frame of thought. In the Father, there is no time. In the Father, the beginning was declared, the end was declared in the very beginning. So all Yahweh had to do was project Moses into the future, about 1,500 years, advance him into the future and show him the body that he would be dwelling in at the time that God was in Christ. There he seen an amazing thing. He saw his hinder parts. And once he saw that, in the full glory, the Shekinah, he had to wear a veil for the rest of his life. Now, it would have been impossible for Moses, according to Yahweh, at that time, in all that essence and glory, for him to see his face. Now, by having to wear a veil, he was so bright, he was so illuminated, he had such holiness about him, that he had seen the Heavenly Father in his hinder parts and had to wear that veil. Isaiah 44, God himself created the world alone. Colossians 1:16, it was Jesus, or the Messiah, Yahweh, the Savior. It's declared in John 1:1, you've heard me quote it many times, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is a verb. It ain't a name. Some people are foolish enough to think it was a name. In the beginning was the Word. Yahweh was not Yahweh. He was Word. I baptize you in the Word. I call upon the Word on your behalf. I heal you in the Word. That's not true. That's taking the whole context of language, sound, out of context. Changing the word Lord instead of YHWH, that was changed to WORD. Crafty there, isn't it? You might think that that's correct, but it's not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. 1:14, the Word became flesh. Who was that in a flesh body? Well, we know that before the Son became flesh, he was in the mind of the Father, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was Logos, not Word. The proper language there is Logos. His name is not Logos, no more than it is Word. Notice this. John 5:17. My Father has been doing all these works until now, and I've been working, and therefore the Jews sought to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now here we are. The Father's working, and he said, now I'm working. I mean, he just climbed right up there and sat down on the right hand of God. In a carnal concept, that's what people believe, that God the Son is now sitting by God the Father, and there's two different ones. And that's the wrong concept. John 5:23, that all that should honor the Son as they honor the Father, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. John 8:24. Therefore I said unto you, you shall die in your sin, for if you do not believe that I am he. See, he's disguised. Here he's talking all this funny talk. My Father's greater than I. Who's he praying to on the cross, Pastor Buddy? Don't you pray to the Spirit? Who is he praying to? Praying to the Spirit. Where was the Spirit at? The Spirit was in him, reconciling, becoming the mediator. The mediator? There has to be an offering for you. That offering had to die, had to lay down, and it had to be stripped of everything of life it had in him, including the Father. The Father separated at that moment of death, just as soon as he gave up the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit departed. And most people think that the Spirit went back to the Father. Well, how could the Spirit, who was the Father, go back to the Father, who was the Father? He didn't have to go nowhere. Just like Christ said, he said, hey, where's your Father? See, this carnal concept, they thought he was a million miles up in heaven somewhere, sitting on an ivory throne with a big long stick, waiting to beat the hell out of people that wouldn't confess his son. Ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't what the disguised one wanted you to see. He said, my sheep will see it here. John 10:30. Jesus answered them, I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And he answered, many good works have I shown you from my Father. What was he talking about? What good works from the Father? It was the Father that was doing the works, because it was the Spirit that was performing the miracles and the signs of the work being done. The flesh couldn't do nothing. He said, I can do nothing of myself. You can't do anything of yourself. You couldn't raise a finger if you didn't have a spirit in your body. You'd be dead. The Bible says that the body without the spirit is dead. How could he have walked around here without the spirit? Just the problem is that he was more than a man. Listen to this one, John 8:58. Then Yahweh Yeshua said unto them, most assuredly I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now here's a man that's not even 50 years old, and that's what the Jews jumped on his case. They said, well, you ain't even 50 years old, and you tell us that you're going to jump back there 2,000 years in the past, and you knew Abraham? He said, well, before Abraham was, I am. What was he talking about? What disguised being was talking to these men that couldn't understand? And the same way today or tonight, there's people that will wrestle with what Pastor Buddy's saying, because I am talking a coded language in spirit. The words are spirit. John 14:6, the Messiah said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. When you learn of the Father, you come to the Son, because the Father was in the Son. The Father, a spirit, disguised and hid in a body of flesh, looked through those eyes, talked through that mouth, heard through his ears, drawed with his finger, and put the spittle in the clay, the mud, made a eyeball, stuck it in the blind man's eyes, and he came seeing. Who was doing that work? Was it the Son? The Son said, I can't do nothing. He said, whatever the Father, whatever I see him doing. He could see the Son could see the Father in him, kneeling down and making a spittle to spit out of his mouth. Oh, praise Yahweh, what an eye. I guarantee it was 20/20. How'd you love to have that eye? Made by the hand of God. Well, you've got to, if so be that God dwells in you. John 8:24, therefore I said unto you, you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father.
Where is your Father? Who was he praying to, Pastor Buddy? Didn't he have a Father? You denying the Father, Pastor Buddy?
John 14:9. Jesus said unto Philip, have I been so long with you, Philip, and yet you have not known me? See, Philip fell for the disguise. He couldn't see the Father was in that body of flesh called the Son, who called himself the Son, who hid himself from the world and revealed himself, not through the flesh, but through the Spirit. That's what Yahweh wants you to see tonight. He was more than a man, although he was a man. He was truly a man. Don't never forget that. He was truly a man that was conceived in the womb. Now, the eternal Father or the Spirit existed long before he did. We're talking about the Son. But once the Father found out it pleased him to dwell in that flesh body, and after he come back, after he rose from the dead, after who rose from the dead? It was the Father that came back after preaching to the souls, and it wasn't the Son that went down there and preached to them. He died. It was the Father in the Son that left the Sonship on the torture stake, left him hanging there. When they buried him, he left that body. It was forsaken. He went and preached to the souls that was disobedient. Therefore, God, the eternal Spirit, the Father, when he got through with that job, he said, now I've got another job to do. You see that body laying there? An angel said, yes, we do. He said, watch it move here in a minute. You're going to see its eyes open. You're going to see its hands raise and point straight up. I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Who gave him all that power? He already had the power in heaven. Satan took the keys of death and tried to hide in the underworld as the warden, telling the Father, you can't have so-and-so. He's down here and he's sinned and he can't come back to you because you said that no sin is going to enter in. So Yahweh, in a dilemma, had to die and becoming the perfect sacrifice for a good work. The Jews said, we don't stone you, but for a man making yourself God. They couldn't believe that God, the eternal Spirit, would become a man. And he would give that body of flesh as a perfect mediator or a sacrifice and lay it down and leave it. But I guarantee you, as the angels positioned themselves to guard that body, that no spirit would defile it. The Father went and preached the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah, and then he came back and he said, watch that body tremble when I get back in it. You watch it.
going to open its eyes and it's going to see again. It's going to open those ears and it's going to hear again. It's going to become the judge of the whole earth because it's going to have all power in heaven and in earth. All of a sudden, a flickering of the eyelashes and the eyes opened. Those wonderful blue sparklers opened up. And he said, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. And everything in heaven bowed its knee. And everything in earth that's going home will confess that he's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Philippians, in chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant or a mediator, and becoming in the likeness of man. Acts 20:28. God, the man, purchased us with his own blood. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 says that Jesus purchased us. Now, which one was it? God or Jesus? Or was both of them the same? With the interval, the only time that the Father separated from the Son is when the body laid down and died. Then the Father rose it up again. He said, let this mind be in you. Now, with you coming boldly to the throne of grace in a time of need, you can walk right up there and be equal with the Father because the Son said, I in you and you in me. Like the Father was in him, now the Son is in you. As the Father, reconciling the world unto himself. Now notice this. Catch this real good and write it down tonight. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy 3:16 confirms it. God was in the flesh until he decided to give the flesh for his perfect offering. Now here's the body that was controlled by God, born of God, protected of God. He said, I'm just going to step out of this flesh body, but I'll be back. Told the angels, guard it. Do not let Satan or any of his demons, do not let anybody touch it. He wouldn't even let Mary touch him until he was cleansed. You say, well, why was it 8 days before that he went to heaven? When he ascended on high, he took the throne in that body for the first time. Up until that time, the angels was praising the eternal spirit. Angels themselves are ministering spirits. And so it was a spiritual environment. But Yahweh said, it's impossible for man to become God. But I that God will become a man. And if you'll believe that, if you'll confess that, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the spirit. God was seen by angels. See that? The first time they'd seen this. As he revealed himself in a flesh body. They knew who he was. God was preached to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It says Gentiles here, but that's not true. Go only to the lost sheep, though not to the Gentiles, he said. That word is so deceiving. Put the right word in there. God was preached to his children. My sheep hear my voice. We know that the Gentiles was not his sheep. His sheep was scattered among the Gentiles as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God was believed on in the world. God was received up into glory. God. You have the ability and faith to confess that? If you do, then turn with me on this next to the final verse. My time's run out. I gotta close. Titus, the book of Titus. Hurry up and find it. It's worth taking a look at. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Proven once and for all that God and Jesus, that you call in the New Testament, the one I call Yahweh, and Yahweh the Savior. He couldn't be Yahweh the Savior until he become a Savior. Now it's Yahweh Shua. Yahweh Shua is Yahweh the Savior. Looking for. Now here we are. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me read it again. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. He's coming back after his sheep. You say, well, he's going to get the whole world. No, he's not. No, that's going to be a separation. The tares is going to be burned. The wheat's going to be gathered into the barn. The unclean is going to be separated from the clean. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God. Titus 2:13. Read it for yourself. If you don't believe that the same one and the old parchment is the same one in the new. And it's confirmed in Hebrews 1:8-9. My last verse here tonight, praise Yahweh. But to the Son, and talking to the Son, but to the Son, he said, he, God, says, your throne, O God, there it is, the Son, God heard the Father, God, say to the Son, God, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. There he is. There's the scepter. He's got it. Do glory. Oh, God. The Son is God. You love righteousness. You became the mediator. You hated lawlessness or sin. And therefore God, your God. Therefore God, the Son, heard the Father, the Son's God, say I've anointed you with the oil of gladness and picked you out of all the brethren and given you a name above every name, that you might become the mediator and the high priest of your profession. Therefore, God, Son, your God, Father, does that make two gods? I don't think so. I really wouldn't think so. Do you? Can you believe that the Son was true God and man? The man was put off on the torture stake. He's no longer a man. He's more than a man. Before Abraham was, I am. The causative verb to be. The cause of everything that exists. He created everything. Colossians 1:16. Everything, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. Yahweh, the flesh man, now is ruling over everything in the universe. He's got a name, and his sheep can see through the disguise of the flesh, and they'll say, my Father. And he'll say, my children. We'll say, our God. And he'll say, praise Yahweh. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, saith Yahweh, who is, and who was, and who is to come. Revelation 1 and 8. I'll give you that in prayer extra. The Almighty. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and by Brother Bud and by Brother Edward down in the great state of Mississippi with Brother Paul at 1-800-253-2748. These are my radio sponsors. I need your help on our assembly. I look for your love offering. If you can afford to send me one, I will be much appreciative. We need your help. The weather's beginning to get a little bit better down here. We haven't had a 2 or 3 dry days in a row in so long. I've sort of forgot. So we need your help to get a seal on our unit, to get it inspected, to have the power turned on. We've got to have it. Pray for us. Help us. We need your help. Thank you that have sent in your tithe and extra offerings on behalf of Pastor. But I know they're in the mail. I'm looking for them by faith. I'll see you around the world tomorrow night on the early program. That'll be 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Pastor Buddy, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. And my telephone number, 351, that's 423-351-1082. I'll see you tomorrow night, early. Part 5 of The Great Disguise. Yahweh bless you. And we're praying for you, Miss Linda, and we're praying for your flesh and blood. Yahweh bless. Hallelujah.